Chapter number 35, and man alive, that was some good singing, stirred our heart, and I thank the Lord for it. You find that place, Exodus chapter 35, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Ain't it good to be saved? Amen. I'm glad when they start singing them songs that it doesn't hit a sour note in my heart. I'm glad it's real, that I know what they're singing about. You pray for me today, somewhere between Sunday morning Sunday school, and right now I've about lost my voice, amen? And we'll just preach, and if it gets down to a whisper, Jeremy will turn me up, and nobody ever accused me of being quiet. Notice Exodus chapter 35, we'll start reading in verse number 30. Exodus chapter 35, we'll start reading in verse number 30. You pray the Lord would help us today. Bible says in verse 30, said, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, said, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and devised curious works to work in gold and silver and in brass, and the cutting of stones to set them, and the carving of wood to make any manner of cutting work. He hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, and the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of him that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Notice verse chapter 36, verses 1. He said, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning. And the Lord God in heaven, I thank you for the Sunday school. Lord, I thank you, God, for the special singing. I thank you for the testimonies. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost to helping us. I thank you, God, that even when we pray, at God, that we come. Father, you said it's impossible. And Lord, to come to God, that those that come to God must come by faith. And to thank God, Lord Jesus, I thank you, that God, as we approach you by faith, that we're reminded that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. I pray, Father, for a few moments of time, that you touch your voice. God, I pray that you touch your spirit. Help our mind to be stayed on thee. I pray, God, that you let the Word of God find a true lodging place in every heart that's here this morning. I pray, God, you'd help us, God, to get lost in yourself. And Father God, I pray, as John the Baptist prayed, and God, may you increase and may we decrease. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for everything been said or done. I pray, Lord, now, and may the Holy Ghost by the Word of God, and Lord, help those that stand in need. Father, we love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice, no doubt most of you here probably very much aware that when we come in this passage of Scripture and you start getting into this passage, that quite literally what we're talking about is the building of the tabernacle. And listen, friend, of all the things in the Bible, there is no better type of the Lord Jesus Christ in person or in a place than what you find in the tabernacle. And however where you look, on every side you look at, no matter where and no matter what it is, and the same thing over and over, it testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, thank God for it. But listen, that thing, it had to be made. And what we find here is a recap. We find that Moses is telling how this thing came to be. And I got to thinking to myself, I wonder why God had chose Bezalel. I mean, now listen, thank God, at the last I counted, it was 600,000 footmen that came out of Egypt. I mean, listen, that's a lot of men, thank God. And not only that, but all the youngins, all the children come out. But in the midst of all that, what we find is God chose one man. Now, here's the question. I don't know. And I want y'all to bear with me. And I want you to help me for just a minute. But listen to me. Above all faith, wouldn't you like for that to be in your boy? Amen. I mean, wouldn't you like, thank God? I mean, when whenever it came time to build one of the most precious things that's ever been built, and for you to look over and say, hey, that's my boy right there. I mean, listen, I got thinking about that, and y'all know I got three of them, and there's all kinds of them around here, and usually when I preach, I'm preaching with a shotgun, and I'm just trying to hit everybody. But this morning, thank God, if the Lord will help us, I'm going to be preaching to our men. I want you to watch in this verse, and verse number 20, that's where the Lord directed my heart. He said, Moses said unto the children of Israel, he said, see, the Lord hath called him by name Bezalel, and the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I tell you what I find in this passage. I want you to listen to me. Here's what I want to preach off the Lord to help me on some hand-me-downs. Amen. Has some hand-me-downs. Hey, some things, thank God, and I can't pass down. And listen, there's some things that I cannot give to anybody else. But I'm glad there's a few things that as men of our houses, we can pass down. And now listen, thank God. I want you to hear me. Hey, some young daddies. And Jesse, I was thinking about you. And the thing about Cameron getting ready to have another one. And Tyler, we got a bunch of little babies running all over this house. And I hope if nobody else will listen to this message today, I pray by the help of the Holy Ghost you will. I want you to look here a few things. And the first thing I notice about these men and these hands that you find in it, and the first thing I see is that every one of these hands in this verse had been impacted by the grace of God. And now listen, friend, everybody right here is not the best people. I don't know if you know it or not, but old Israel, he wasn't a real good feller. I mean, thank God. Hey, listen, he is a deceiver. He was a trickster. He was a thief. I mean, that's who he was. That's what he was made up of. But thank God there came a day, one day, that God got a hold of him, and he got a hold of God, and it changed him forever. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, listen, I remember that day. God got a hold of my heart and of these fellas right here. And then you got old Judah, and Judah's pretty messed up too. I mean, listen, thank God, right in the middle of telling Joseph's story and about how wonderful he is, it breaks and tells this terrible story about the life of Judah. And yet in spite of all of that, and the grace of God shined out. I tell you, every time I get over there, y'all probably get tired of hearing, y'all get tired of hearing about grace. Amen. I mean, listen, about every time. About every time I get over there and I get to reading about these messed up lives, and then all of a sudden I see there's a day, there's a time, and there's a point, and the God of glory gets a hold of their heart. And from that point forward, everything changes. Amen. And I think, thank God. And thank God. Amen. That's why, friend, you can take the gospel and you can go anywhere and you can go to any people, and no matter how bad their life is, and no matter how awful it has been, and you can tell them at the grace of God, I can change that. Amen. Amen. I find some lives here that's impacted by grace. Man, I start thinking about this. These hands right here are instruments of God. Every one of them in this place, I want you to watch this and just stay with me in your Bible. Here's sort of the meat of the message, if you'll have it, is that there's five generations. I see the grace of God in that thing. There's five generations there. And here's the generation. Here's the lineage, if you'll have it. And you've got Israel. And then after Israel, you've got Judah. After Judah, you got Hur. After Hur, you've got Uri. And after Uri, you got Bezalel. And old Bezalel said, hey, he said, my dad was Uri. And Uri said, son, that said you had a good granddaddy. His name was Hur. And old Hur get talking about his daddy. He said, I wish you could have ever met your granddaddy Judah. I said, man, he was a praising machine. I said, old Judah, get over there, get to talking. He said, I wish you'd have met dad. I said, dad was pretty corrupt. I said, but one day his walk got changed. I said, for the rest of his life, he walked different before us. I'm telling you, listen to me, friend. Something's got to happen in each of these lives. Have their instruments in the hands of God. I thought about Israel. I want you to listen to me. Hey, young dads, young men, what you find first of all is in the life of Israel is he's known for his hands. He's known for substituted hands. If it's one thing I think we ought to pass on to the next generation, it's how to be birthed into the family of God. Amen. And listen to me. In the day we're living in this day of easy believism, in this day of signing a card, repeating a prayer, all of those different things,
we need some dads, how we need some men, how that know what it is, how to be born again. Amen. I don't know. I can't test nobody else. But thank God I want you to know this. I don't want my boys to be deceived. Amen. Listen. I don't want them to get caught up in emotionalism. I don't want them, thank God, to get caught up in the judgment day house. I don't want them to get caught up because their friends went down. I want them to know how the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, everything in Israel's life, for as messed up as it was, I tell you one thing he done right. Whenever he got down there, and he wanted to get a blessing, he knew that there wasn't no way. He didn't have no right to it. It did not belong to him. And so, Brother Doug, you know what he did? His mama said, I've got a plan. I know how you get the blessing. And said, this is what you're going to have to do. And go out and kill a kid. That's a goat, not a kid. Amen. And go kill a goat. And said, you take that goat's kid. And said, we're going to put that thing right on the back of your hands. And he said, now listen. And said, she said, he's talking to his mama. And he says, mama, he said, now I know my dad's eyes are dim. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. He's going to know the difference. He said, I'm a smooth feller. And he said, Esau's hairy. And they got that goat's kid. And they put that thing on his hands. And he went in there and he said, hey, I've got the venison. I want you to bless me now. And his dad said, come here. He said, we're going to put you to the test, young man. That boy, when he got up there, he said, let me feel your hands. That boy, that's one of them favorite verses in the Bible. He gets to feeling his hands. And this is what he says. He said, the hands are the hands of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. Hey, listen to me, friend. He comes in, he shows up in that place, and thank God, his daddy hears his voice, but he sees his brother's hands. Amen. Hey, thank God. I don't know, listen. Hey, so five of us that's happy about that, but I'm telling you, thank God. Have you ever realized, if you ever got birthed in the family of God, that's the same thing that happened in your life. If there came a day that you came up and you had no way how to stand before a thrice holy God, my friend, if you would have, you'd have been killed on the spot. But thank God you had a big brother, and the big brother come down and he shed his life on Calvary's cross, and he put that cloth on you. And when you stand before God, and God said, I see his hands, but I heard your voice. Amen. Ain't that right? How many of you come in here and pray? That's why we say in Jesus' name. You ain't got nothing that's ever impressed God. And so when you show up and pray, and God looks at the hands of his son, but he hears the voice of you and I. Oh, listen, that's a substituted hand. And then I got to thinking about Judah's hands. I mean, if Israel's was substituted, and we need some daddies, listen, look here. Young daddies, I mean, listen, young, I got parents in here. How would y'all listen to me? I wish to God that we'd spend half as much time, teaching them about the things of God. Listen to me, friend. They know everything in the whole world. They know how to play video games. They know how to get on YouTube. But thank God when it comes time to get born again, I got very few dads that take the Bible and show them what it is, how to be birthed in the family of God. Amen. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, does it? We've got young men. And then we've got some of these young men that they've grown up and they've never seen their daddy do it. And they've watched their daddy work with his hands, but they've never seen him pray with them. And they've watched him flip through a phone, but they've never seen him flip through a Bible. And they've watched him come up and be willing to fight for his family, but never have seen him raised up for the glory of God. And now, friend, listen. If you young men in here, listen, you older daddies, if you think, thank God, that your kid's never going to see you read the Bible, and it's going to be very important to him, you probably messed up somewhere, amen. It's not going to happen, friend. I found over and over again, whatever's important to the dad is usually passed on to the son. And if you want something good, and thank God you ought to teach them about salvation. Amen. Yeah. Substituted hands. You say, well, I never have seen my dad do that. Well, won't you be the first generation to do it then? Yeah. That ain't no excuse. That ain't no excuse. At some point in time, you got to just draw a line in the sand and say, I can't help what was behind me. I can't help what I had. All I know is this. I'm by the grace of God going to draw a line in the sand. I want my boys to hear me pray. I want them to hear us shout. I want them to hear us sing. I want to be real at the house. I want to be real in the church house. I want to be real at work. I thank God. I'm asking you simply, what are you handing down? Amen. What are you handing down? And I noticed this, not only we find in Israel, we find substituted hands. But then I thought about in Judah, we find strong hands. In Genesis chapter 49, verse number 5, I think it is, he talks about Judah, and this is what he said about it. He said, Judah's hands shall be in the neck of his enemy. Oh, listen, them's fighting hands there. Oh, Judah come up. He said, my daddy taught me how to pray. And he said, I believe I'm going to learn how to fight. Hey, man. Listen, I don't know if this may be falling on deaf ears this morning, but I want you to hear me anyhow. You get in the house of God. That face one thing I word to God. We had some more men that would be interested in doing it. That's fighting for the things that really do matter. Amen. I mean, they'll fight for everything in the whole world except for spiritual things. But I'm telling you, when the Bible talks about Judah, it said his hand was in the neck of his enemy. I tell you this, Jesse, that little fella's getting ready to be here next week with the help of the Lord. Isn't that right? And I got thinking about these little babies has birthed into this thing. And I'm telling you, thank God for it. And they need to know that there's a daddy out there. How that's a fighting for the old time way. Amen. And trying to do everything you can. How to keep old time worship the way that it is. How to keep the worship of the Lord right between them and God. Friend, they ought to see it in the dads. Amen. Listen, I love our wives. I love our ladies. But the ladies ought not be the worship leaders in our homes. That's not Bible. Everybody all right there? That's not what this book teaches me. Listen, I've told you, I've done made up my mind. I'm not going to let a lady outshout me. It's not happening. I've done made up my mind. Thank God, I ought not have to work it up, Brother Savage. We ought to come in the house of God. I'm talking about strong hands. You know, I got thinking about when they get over there in the promised land and the book of Numbers chapter 13 and they're getting ready to enter in. They send 12 men and 12 men come in there and 10 of them walk back out. And they said, man, they said, that land's everything God said it was, son. He said, everything there is flowing with milk and honey just like he said it was. And said, but these giants over there and said, we can't do a thing in the world with him. Haven't one of the descendants of Judah stood up, a little fella by the name of Caleb. And old Caleb said, we be well able, amen, to overcome. I thank God, listen, in this day where everybody's talking about what God can't do, wouldn't it be a blessing to have some men that put down on the inside of their children's heart that God's still God, he's still able to do all things and to do it well, amen. Thank God, listen. That's going to start with some of them. I'll tell you this. I was sharing with some folks the other day. I'll move on real quick, but I want you to listen to me. You know who the first tribe to go battle is? They get over there. You can find this in Judges chapter 1, maybe verse number 9, I think. Maybe something like that. You can find them. They get over there in that battle, and the first time they get ready to go, they ask the Lord, and they said, who's going to fight first? And the Lord said, send Judah. Amen. And oh, Judah fights the first battle. And it comes time to get in the promised land. Old Judah says, we'll lead the way right here, fellas. Said, we'll go fight and we'll possess the land. And guess who's going to fight the last battle? I mean, listen, the first battle ever fought was fought by Judah. And the last battle ever to be fought will be fought by the line of the tribe of Judah. He's a long line of fighters. I mean, thank God, listen, friend. It's almost like, and that one daddy watched over and he saw his boy fight, and then the next one saw his daddy fight a meat, and so on and so forth all down the line. Till they said, there are some things and it's worth fighting for. Amen. I mean, listen, we get a bad rap sometimes around this neck of the woods in our church, and I want you to hear me. And some of the reasons we don't do anything and that even looks modern is because, thank God, we're trying to fight for what's right. Amen. Don't you think that's... We was walking in the mall. We was walking in the mall yesterday, and I walked around, and I seen everything in the whole world. I seen transgenders. I seen 14-year-olds that must have thought it was 90 degrees outside instead of 30 degrees outside. And I was wondering, where's the dads in all this thing? Where's the men that let their daughters walk out of their house dressed like that? Somebody help me right there. And Les, I got thinking about that. And I was talking to old Dustin Ward. And they said, look at all these transgenders. I said, I've grown up with transgenders my whole life. Amen. He said, in Scott County? I said, no, in the church house. I said, they've always been worldly, but they identify as Christians. Amen. But look at me, friend. Hey, Les said, they ain't fooling nobody. We know what they are. Amen. I mean, they can dress up, how you can put on makeup, how you can put on a suit, how you can come to the house of God. But my friend, listen, identifying as a Christian don't make you a Christian. Amen. It don't do it. Ain't that right? We got these dads growed up there. No, Judah, he keeps a fighting the fight. I mean, listen, we need some dads that's willing to fight for this thing. And I got thinking about old her. Anybody know anything about her at all? If you know anything about her, you know he's only. I mean, he's very limited in Scripture, Brother Donnie. But the one time he shows up in Scripture, he shows up to help somebody's hands. Hey, listen to that, God. I can just see old her. And he said, well, Israel, he said, my granddaddy, he had substituted hands. My daddy, he had strong hands. And listen, that got passed on to him. And old her got over there. And one day, he seen old Moses, the man of God, up on the hillside. And they was fighting the battle. And they was fighting the Amalekites. And them hands started going down. And old her said, I'll tell you what I believe I'll do. He said, I believe I'll just go over there. And I'll get under one side of his hand. And I'll get on the underside of his hands and I'll just hold them hands up. I'm gonna now listen to me. Everybody stay with me right here. If there's one thing I'd like for our daddies to figure out, how we ought to go. Now I ain't talking about the man of God, but I'm talking about, wouldn't it be a blessing for all of us to see somebody struggling and say, I believe I'll just go over there and hold up your hands. Amen. Yes. Well, just watch them. Now I wonder how long they can hold their hands up. Ain't that a blessing? We'll talk about it. I wonder how long before they'll get tired and give out. I'm going to tell you what her did with his hands. Hey, so I'm going to put these things to good use. Now in this church, there's enough folks around here going through enough things that they ought not be nobody in here saying, man, I ain't got nothing to do. People ask me all the time, say, what do you want to do? I say, start praying. Thank God you start getting a hold of God, and after that, we'll go somewhere different. Amen. We need some dads that's willing to hold up some hands. We need some dads, thank God, that's willing to help their wives get a little on this thing. Maybe encourage their heart. Maybe encourage their kids just a little bit. Maybe do some things for the Lord. Don't you think that's right? I mean, all of a sudden we got some supporting hands. But what about old Uri? Uri stands up there, and old Uri, we don't know nothing about him. Not nothing. You don't know not one thing about Uri. Not one thing. I'll tell you what I found out about it whenever I studied in Scripture. Don't say nothing about him. Not nothing. But every time you find his name mentioned, you always find his boy's name mentioned with it. You never find Uri's name without his boy right behind him. Y'all listen to me? Now we're going to go through this thing. We're going to say, I was listening to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about, he said he didn't want to raise no effeminate men. Thank God, and I don't want to either. But I'll tell you what we do. We've got men that know how to line up a gun, and they know how to cast a bait caster, and they know when's the good time for the walleye, and they know how to track a deer, but they couldn't track the blood of the lamb through the Scripture. Are you listening to me? I mean, you go through this thing, they know how to build houses, but they don't know how to secure a firm foundation. Amen, thank God. They know how to hang doors, but they ain't never went through the door themselves. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things here. But I'm telling you, friend, if this thing's going to get right, we're going to have some men that teach their families what's right. Amen. Yeah, amen. I figured it'd be quiet today. Quiet and gets quieter, don't Brother Gavin? They said, we thought we was going to shout her out today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then all of a sudden you got Bezalel. I'm trying not to preach too long, but you got Bezalel shows up. Bezalel's got one dad. His dad's hands were silent. I got thinking about this. Y'all give me 10 minutes. Is that all right? 5, 3, somewhere like that. It don't say nothing about, oh, your eyes, hands, but I'll tell you three positions that I'm sure there's in. One of them's this position right here. One of them's like that right there. I'm going to ask you some questions right here. I want you to be honest before the Lord. You young men, young dads, how much time have you spent praying for your family this week? Got youngins? Don't know the Lord? Maybe youngins do know the Lord. Did you pray for them last night? You got little Aubrey right there in your arms. Going to be a day she's going to need a spouse. You better not be waiting until she's 18 years old to be praying that prayer. Got youngins coming up through here. And we've got all kind of these things. But if we ain't got some dads with their hands crossed up right there, I tell you what some dads ought to do. They ought to go apologize to their wives. They ought to apologize to their kids. And they ought to do what's right. Amen. Say amen right there and smile at me. What I said's right. I mean, we've got some dads that know how to do everything in the world. What about that? I'll tell you, second thing you find about your eye all throughout Scripture, your eye and Bezalel's always together, always within reach. I believe his hand's always right there. Y'all listen to me. I believe his hand's always real close to his boy. I don't want my boy to get so far out of my reach that the world's got a better hold of him than I do. Y'all call it a helicopter parent or whatever you want to. I want to know what my kids are listening to. Y'all want to? All right, listen, that was you done missed your chance to shout. That was it, amen? I want to say this to you. All of a sudden, Bezalel shows up, and this is what the Lord just settled down on the inside of my heart. I'm not being critical. I want you to think that. But David right here, he won't get mad at me. I want you to understand. You know what generation David's concerned about right now? One generation. He's concerned about David. That's it. And the decisions he's making right now is based on decisions he wants for his life. That's it. And then you got Josh, and he's got two comes along. And you know how many generations you're concerned about? Two generations. He's concerned about him, and he's concerned about them. And then Donnie comes along. Now I want you to watch this, because this is when it gets a little rocky. I hope the Holy Ghost will put this. Justin, I hope God will drive this in your heart, all these young dads. I'll tell you what happens whenever Donnie comes around. Donnie comes around, and he sees these little grandchildren start showing up. Now all of a sudden, he sees the effects of decisions he's made shows up not on the next generation, but it starts showing up on the third generation. And he starts thinking about things that he would have done different, but the problem is it's too late. Whatever it is, it is. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just using three generations. Whatever it is, at that point it is. And by the time you get four generations or five generations down there, the problem is we're only thinking about the next generation and we ain't thinking about a little further down the road. But if we'd get our minds on four or five generations out, we'd be sure to change some things in our lives. Listen, I'm for the sake of the Lord, you help us here. When they started raising up them skirts, y'all listen to me? When they raised them up right there, they was only thinking about one generation. And then the next generation, when they started changing the Bible, they thought, it ain't going to affect the next generation too bad. And now we're five generations into it. And when they started changing the music 60 years ago, they said, well, this ain't too bad. And now we're running around with rock and roll Jesus running everywhere and people's confused about what's right. Whether you've got a long-term plan or not, the devil does. Bezalel shows up. All right, I've done killed the whole meeting, ain't I? Amen. Bezalel shows up, and I want you to listen to me. My responsibility is to reprove, rebuke, instruct, exhort, correct. We've got some dads in here, and if they're not concerned, if you make decisions right now and you think they're not going to affect the next generation and the next generation, I'll tell you what I read one time, and I'm done preaching. I'll tell you what I read one time. I read that what's convictions to one generation, if they don't do something about it, The next generation, it becomes preferences. Preferences. I'm a KJV only.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want my boys to say, well, that was my dad's preference. The third generation, you know what they say about them? Say if the first generation is conviction, second generation's preferences, said by the time the third generation comes along, they say, that is your opinion. And we're seeing that in our churches today. So that's an opinion. An opinion. And we've got dads that have sat back and let it happen. Amen. Bezalel shows up. I'm done. Stand to your feet. Bezalel shows up. I want y'all to listen to me. He's got five generations deep. When Bezalel shows up, here's what I can tell you. Bezalel's life ended, but his work went on. That a blessing. I mean, what he started doing, stopped. But generations after generations, the work that Bezalel did with the tabernacle. Bezalel was just one man. But because of what was put on the inside of him, millions upon millions was blessed. Lissa, come. Whatever you're going to sing. Donnie, whatever you're going to sing. I'm simply saying this. If we don't have some men that step back and say, right now's the time. Gather my family around. Start doing what's right. Start leading them in the right way. You say, well, they're going to the house of God. They're going to be saved. Well, they might be. My friend, I want you to understand, all of Africa, by and large, is a heathen nation. But Tia, when they got off Noah's Ark, you listen to me? They got off Noah's Ark, Ham had the same knowledge that Japheth and Shem had. Same knowledge. But he wasn't thinking about 10 generations down the road. He was only thinking about himself. And he shipwrecked a whole continent. Shipwrecked a whole continent. This thing goes a little deeper than what most of us know. Goes a little deeper than what most of us know. Go ahead, sing whatever you're going to sing.